Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves with On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Wednesday, the 7th of October 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. We are focusing on the budget and the broader implications of it in this stream. And last night, I got some immediate reaction with Jeremy Thorpe, the chief economist at PwC. The Treasurer says this budget is all about jobs. Is there enough there to support jobs growth?
There's a lot about jobs growth here. There's direct stimulus by giving people cash so they can go and spend that money and stimulate jobs growth. But there's direct funding for, we've seen it mentioned earlier already tonight, for younger people to have their wages subsidised. But also I think it's really important here, we've taken the lessons out of the past recession and we've spending more on training people so that they actually come back to the jobs that are fit for the next round of growth.
The deficit's expected to grow to almost $214 billion this financial year, 11% of GDP. Net debt, $703 billion as a result. Can we afford it?
It's almost a magic pudding. In rough terms, we're doubling our net debt, but the cost of servicing that debt is only going to go up by about 10%. So debt is so cheap. We need to be borrowing to spend our way out of this, but we've got to prioritise growth to come out of it.
So you work for an accounting company, so I've got a tax question. 11 million Australians will get a tax cut. I guess what they want to know is, what do they need to do to see that money in the bank, especially if it's being backdated, and how soon will they get it?
So Parliament has to pass the legislation, and after that you should start to see a little bit more money in your pay packet. If government, if you're having your tax taken out on a weekly or fortnightly basis, a little less will be taken out. But at the end of the year, you might be entitled to a rebate as well. So just like last year when you put your tax return in, you might have got a cheque at the end of it, same thing will happen next year.
OK, and overall, how would you rate the budget?
I don't think there's a traditional rating. This is a budget for a remarkable time. And I think it's probably got the tone right and the level of prioritising jobs. It is the lesson we need to take from previous recessions, and we're on the right path.
Jeremy Thorpe there from PwC. Now, economists have largely used the same words to describe the budget, and that's extraordinary. And while many were supportive, there were some surprises to the downside. So, of the big four bank economists, those at NAB say one was not bringing forward the timing of stage three tax cuts or permanently increasing the job seeker payment. CBA's CommSec says the government should also be looking at all areas of the tax system, such as GST. ANZ says there is less direct income support in the current quarter than expected, creating short-term risks if businesses don't quickly bring forward investment spending. And Westpac says the government's growth forecasts are more upbeat than its own and are concerned about weak wages growth, high unemployment and fragile confidence. Others, like Joe Masters, the chief economist of EY, says the budget's not inspiring. I spoke with Joe Masters a little earlier. Joe, you've called this an extraordinary budget, but not inspiring. Why?
That's right. Look, there was a lot in this budget that we already knew about it, and the numbers are really big. Extraordinary debt and deficit numbers. But it lacked inspiration for two reasons. One is it relies heavily on businesses and households getting out there and using those measures, spending in the economy. But more importantly, it lacked productivity-enhancing reform, something that we need to have less friction in the economy to raise the speed limit on growth.
Is there a real risk that consumers save instead of spending and businesses don't actually hire?
Absolutely. That's a key risk. We already know that households are saving more. In the June quarter, households saved $1 in every $5 of disposable income. And a lot of these income tax cuts are going to those that do have the luxury of being able to put away for a rainy day. In terms of businesses, businesses were cautious about investing prior to COVID, and there's nothing in this budget that changes that. There's just not a lot of confidence about the future economy or about future profitability for firms.
A lot of the spending is temporary. What happens after that?
So a lot of that depends on what happens with the health crisis. There's a lot of assumptions around vaccines, further localized lockdowns, and a lot of that depends on what happens with aggregate demand or spending by the private sector. To some extent, I'm not too worried about it because one thing this government has done is shown that it's nimble. It's prepared to come out in between formal budgets and make measures where necessary.
How is this budget different to that of the GFC when we also went from a surplus to a deficit?
So this one is very different. First of all, we're going from a weaker fiscal position and lower interest rates as a starting point. And of course, this crisis is different. It's much, much broader, much, much deeper, and much more difficult to tackle. So a more challenging outlook.
Joe, Australia is a nation of migrants and population growth has really been a major contributor to GDP, but Treasury is now forecasting net overseas migration to see its largest drop since 1946. So to what extent will that pose a challenge to the economy?
It's a big challenge. Population growth has been a key driver of this economy for some time now. With our international borders closed, as you said, weakest population growth in over 100 years, that's going to be a challenge for the next year or two. The good news is I still believe that when we open our borders, Australia remains a favourable destination for skilled migrants. So looking forward, I still expect those numbers to improve over time.
Australia's net debt will rise to almost $1 trillion by 2023-24 as a result of this budget. Can we afford it?
It's an extraordinary level of debt, but it is debt that we had to have, and it is debt that we can absolutely afford. Interest rates are not only at record lows, but expected to remain at very, very low levels for years and years to come. So the cost of this debt, the interest cost, is actually no higher than it was after the global financial crisis and about a half of what it was after the last recession in the early 1990s. So we can afford this.
And overall, what does this budget mean then for jobs and an economic recovery?
So the budget is all about generating jobs, particularly for young Australians, and jobs of the future, not jobs of the past. But there's a lot of moving parts here, a lot of uncertainty, and a real reliance on the private sector, households and businesses, to do some of the heavy lifting. So I think there are still challenges ahead. Still think the unemployment rate goes up before it comes down.
Joe Masters there, the chief economist at EY. Meanwhile, Australia's AAA credit rating has been reconfirmed by all the three major global ratings agencies, including Standard & Poor's, although there are risks. Standard & Poor's Global Ratings Director, Anthony Walker, spoke.
We actually believe the economy is out of technical recession already. We do have a positive September quarter in our forecast. Obviously, the big risk here is what's happening in Victoria, what's happening in Europe around the world, where second waves are actually leading to further lockdowns. This is by no means through this. This is a bumpy road and it could turn quickly. Obviously, that's not a base case, but it can actually turn quickly. And that in itself could have long-term consequences to the budget and the economy.
Anthony Walker there from S&P Global Ratings. So how did the market react to the budget? Well, the S&P ASX 200 actually rose 1.3% today, back above 6,000 points at 6,036. That's despite opening in the red following a weak lead from Wall Street overnight after the US President Donald Trump ended stimulus talks in the US. The banks did particularly well. Westpac, the best of the four, up by 2.6%. Retailers also doing well. JB Hi-Fi added 3.6%. Woolies up by 2%. Some healthcare stocks, CSL, rose up by 1.7%. And Crown added 2.8%. Resource stocks were weaker, though. BHP down by 1.1%. And the worst performer on the 200 was Newcrest Mining, off by 2.1%. For more, I spoke earlier with Adam Dawes from Shaw and Partners. What's the market thinking of the budget, and are there any obvious beneficiaries?
Yeah, there is a couple, and you know, you'll hear lots in the press about the winners and the losers. But certainly, this budget starts a transition from crisis support to growth recovery, and I think that's a really important point that we need to keep going on with. But certainly, it looks like there are some winners in there at the moment. Consumer discretionary stocks are doing very, very well. So the likes of JB Hi-Fi, Temple and Webster, which basically means that the government is going to bring forward those tax cuts, which means millions of Australians are going to have a little bit more money in their pocket coming through to the tough time, or the most important time, which is coming into Christmas.
Infrastructure is a key plank of the budget too. Any reaction there?
Yeah. Yeah, look, shovels at the ready. I think everyone's really excited about this infrastructure spend because it is going to mean that they are going to be sustained at some higher levels, and they're estimating spending to be uplift around $10 billion over the next 4 years. So this is fantastic for a lot of these infrastructure stocks, especially the road stocks, the airports, those kinds of things. And road upgrades is going to be the biggest one going forward. So something like a Transurban should do well out of that environment.
And what does the market think about the actual size of this budget deficit?
Yeah, it's a big one, isn't it? the rest of the world, I mean, like the rest of the world, Australia has seen their economy and really has taken the biggest hit since World War II as a result of the virus. The budget deficit is predicted to hit around about $213 billion and then sort of taper off a little bit from there. But really, it's all about the net debt. What do we actually owe, or what is the overall debt? And it's basically expected to reach this year to $703 billion, but then continue to rise to just shy of $1 trillion before 2024. Now, remember, before the pandemic, the government was actually forecasting a $5 billion surplus. So this is going to be a really tough one going forward for the government to have that balancing act to maintain that and keep the economy moving in the right direction.
Adam Dawes there from Shaw and Partners, and that is On the Money for this Wednesday, the 7th of October 2020. Don't forget, this On the Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It's not personal advice, and it doesn't consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a financial professional before making any financial decision. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter at Business Ricardo. I'll see you soon.